We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. It's once again Take Time for Jesus. We're glad to tune this in to us, and we're just happy to report victory in Jesus. We know that He is alive and alive forevermore. And as we go before Him at this time to give Him praise and honor, do so with us. And let's pray for our country and those people up there in the White House that can't seem to get their act together, that God may intercede in some way or another and help us and help them at the same time to get done what needs to be done for you and I and all people concerned. We just praise God today to know that He is still on the throne and He is in control of all things. And I'm just glad to know that He has the last word to say, and He will, in fact, use us to help others as we go through life. I'm just happy to report that victory in Jesus again, and knowing that He is all-seeing, all-knowing God, and He will help us if we will turn our hearts to Him and give Him praise and honor. We're living in a perilous times of days, and we can see that all these things that are working is a part of the God of this world trying to destroy what we know is right in the gospel of Jesus Christ and giving to you His praise and honor and looking unto Him to be the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to call upon Him. These days that we're living in is perilous times, as I've said. We need to call upon Him in faith, believing, and trusting in Him, because the arm of flesh, we ought to know by now, is not after doing anything for us. It's the party system. It's trying to overrule another party, and Jesus has no part into this kind of stuff. He wants all to come to Him and have His benefits that He has to offer, eternal life through Him. And He said He would supply our needs. If we seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these other things will be added to us. But we're looking into the arm of flesh and looking to them instead of looking to the Lord. And this day and hour that we live in needs to be looking faithfully unto the Lord Jesus Christ, because one day soon, I believe He'll return, and them that are prayed up, ready to go up, and have their sins under the blood is the only ones that's going to make it. Those others will suffer through a great tribulation that's never been on the world before. So my friends, it's time that we check upon ourselves and see where we at. See if we're in the place that Christ would have us to be. If we've been born again, living the life that He would have us to live, or we just slipshod going along, hoping for the best, and thinking that we're doing real good on ourselves, and that we are just passing through this land, which we are. I'm in search of a city whose builders and makers is God. This is not my home, as I've said and I've preached before, but it's a ready room. It's getting ready to go into eternal life. And we're going to spend eternity with the Lord or with the devil in his domains. Now, it's your choice as well as it is mine. But I would encourage you with the best of my heart's desire that you would choose to serve the Lord and win out over all of the adversary that the devil has come up and put into the places in this world today, and to come to knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ through the Scriptures and come into Him and receive Him as your personal Savior. It's time we need to check up on ourselves. These days is coming awful terrible on us all over the world. All kinds of things that are happening, and you know that as well as I do. And the Bible speaks about all these things. And let me encourage you, read your Bible and see what it has to say about the day that we're living in, and you would find out that we're living close to the return of our Lord and Savior. So be ready and listen. And the only way you can do that is be filled with the Spirit of God. Then you can hear the voice of God. You cannot hear the call of God when you got all of your mind is set upon the things of the world and all the corruption that's going on. It'll defeat you, my friend. We got to rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who He will guide and direct us into the way of righteousness for His name's sake. So pray with us as we pray one for another, and pray for our men and women that are in these wars and all these things that are going on, the people that are trying to make things right, that God will help them, but then the devil would have to stand back and allow God's will to be done. We just pray with us. Heavenly Father, we thank You today in that blessed name of Jesus that You have control over all things of this world. You have the complete authority, and we give it to You willingly in our life. We pray that You would take charge of our lives and help us that we can allow You to work in us as it would be pleasing to Thee, giving You the praise and honor that You are due, because there's no other God that we know of. There's no other God except there's people have made many gods, but there's only one true living God, and His name is Jesus, the Son of the living God, which was God manifested in the flesh. We come to You and we ask it as a favor, Lord, that You might favor us and help us in this time of need, that our government would get their act together and help us in the people, instead of being so much grievous about everything and so argumentative and detrimental about things, that they would come to know that the things which are right and good for the country would be good for all the people, and put this bickering around and everything. Them that won't come under the will of God, remove them off of the scene, Lord, and put them out into the pasture somewhere or another, and let them suffer some. Lord, we just pray that Your will be done in this country, and to help us to abide by Your rules and Your laws, and keep us by Thy love and grace. We thank You for that blood You shed for our sins, and for the finished works of Calvary. We give You the praise and the glory for it all, in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I believe my wife's ready now over here to bring you something that the Lord's laid on her heart. So pray with us and pray for us that God will bless and undertake in every situation that the world is coming into at this time. Lord bless. Here's my wife.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm so glad to be coming into your homes or wherever you're receiving us today. And take time for Jesus. We, several years ago, probably about 15 or 20 years ago, we were trying to think of a name for our broadcast and everything. And my husband was a truck driver then. He came home one day and he says, "I know what we are." And I said, "What?" And he said, "Take time for Jesus." So we've been Take Time for Jesus for a long time. And our desire today is to share with you what the Lord's laid on our hearts, that it may draw you closer to Him, so that one day we'll all meet Him face to face and we'll all be together. Some of our friends and loved ones have gone on here in the last few months and everything. But we know that they had their heart right. They lived a life. And that one day, if we keep going the way we are now, we're going to see them and we'll be able to just enjoy one another. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And I want to share with you this evening, today, the hardening of the heart. I've read many things and I just couldn't settle on anything, but the hardening of the heart came to mind here. It's the way people are doing right now. Their heart is so hardened against God, and He's going to get tired of it one of these days. And I don't think it's going to be that far in the future, but I'm not predicting when He'll come or anything. All I'm saying is to be ready. You think not the day or the hour when He's going to call you home, or He's going to call you out of this world. Our days are numbered. The hairs on your head are numbered. And there's big graves and little graves, but all I can say today is for you to be ready. And this is a hardening of the heart. It's a little lengthy, and I read fast. So if you'd like to have a copy of it or anything, just let me know. It's from the Bible Friend. And I want you to think about what procrastination leads to. It leads to a wasted life. It leads to more and more sin reaping and a hardened heart. Many times it's easy to preach the gospel in foreign countries and tell of God's grace to those who have never heard the beautiful story. How tender is a heart that has never heard that Jesus came into the world to die for sinners? The deadly danger of procrastination is that it results in the hardening of the heart. Neglect deadens the conscience and dulls ears until one cannot hear God's call. Neglect blinds the eyes to the inevitable consequences of sin. When one hears the gospel and then postpones salvation and continues to say no to God time and time again, do you know what happens? The gospel becomes common and ordinary. I fear that that is what is working on many people today. You can become hardened to the gospel. Possibly a person who has not been raised in a church might be moved easily to an altar of prayer. However, you can become gospel hardened because you've heard the message so many times. You can become less and less sensitive to the voice of God. The things that once moved your heart is no longer move you because you have procrastinated. Often I have seen evidence of people's heart becoming hardened when they hear the gospel. The gospel will turn a person's heart to God, but if you do not listen to God, if you do not do something about it, it will turn your heart further away from God. If you're not saved, you're getting closer to hell than you have ever been, because the gospel changes you in one way or the other. It is going to have either a positive effect on you or a negative effect. There is something about God's word in Isaiah 55:11. The Bible said, "It shall not return unto me void." God's precious word will not return void. It accomplishes that which it is sent to accomplish. 2 Corinthians 2:15-16 says, "For we unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and them that perish. To the one we are the savior of death unto death, and to the other the savior of life unto life. And who is sufficient for those things?" Those who are not saved by the gospel will find that their hearts have been hardened by the gospel. Pharaoh hardened his own heart by neglecting warning after warning, so his repentance was insincere. His heart grew calloused and indifferent. Plague after plague came from God, yet Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh would not repent with godly sorrow, and since he would not do what God was urging him to do, God forced the issue so that his heart was forever hardened. At first, Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Then the Bible said that God hardened his heart. And the army and all of them died in the Red Sea, and you can find that back in Genesis, I believe it is. He hardened his heart, and then he became so hardened that he could never be what God wanted him to be. If you turn down the gospel now, and if time should last another week, another day, another year, it will probably be easier to turn it down again next week or the week after or whenever. If you turn it down next week, it'll be easier to do each month. You turn it down after the month, it'll be easier to the year, and on and on. It'll be easier and easier. You may ask, does it really work that way? Where are many of the saints' children? I thank God for the saints' children who are saved, but many of them are out in sin. Why are they out in sin? It is due to procrastination. They were tender-hearted at one time. They went to Sunday school. They were taught Bible truths by godly men and women. But when they became older, they turned their heart away from God. The saints of God warned them, and they had good Christian parents. But where are they today? Many of them are out in the depths of sin. Friend, you can look around and see what sin does. Young person, look at what sin has done to others. Is that what you want in your life? It was the same way with me when I was a young person. But thank God I'm back. He said, if you train up a child in the way it shall go, when they get old, they won't depart from it. And all the time that I was, I never forgot God, but I wasn't living close to him as I am now. But I knew he was there. Most of the young people that I was raised with are in the depth of sin, bound by the habits of life, and a lot of them have gone on to their reward, wherever that may be. They're one with all that I have within me. I'm trying to flash a red light of warning before you. Stop! Hold it for a moment and consider what procrastination will do for you. And I just thank the Lord today that he has put my procrastination behind me. I no longer make excuses for not doing things that I feel like the Lord really wants me to do, or he's calling me to do, but I obey him. Today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow may not come. And we're self-supporting and everything. And if you would like to help us, it would be appreciated. You can send it to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. We do not have a sponsor, but we are living by faith. And as I've said before, we tighten up our belt loops and we don't go out to eat as much as we did and spend a lot of junk. God is good. God has never let us down. But we would like to hear from you. Email us, ecompton31@yahoo.com. And as I said before, if you would like to have a copy of anything I have, and I'm getting 500 daily breads. So if you would like to have a daily bread, you just call or email me. Brother Compton, email him, and I'll be glad to get it to you. Or if you want to subscribe to the Bible Friend, I'll give you the place where you can can subscribe to it. It's very low priced and everything, but there's a lot of good stuff in it. And I just thank the Lord this afternoon that he sent that my way back in the early 1980s. But I just praise God this afternoon again. And if you live in the Tampa area, and you have a desire to hear the word of God where the Bible is preached and praises are lifted up to Jesus, not some of these here off the wall songs that a lot of them have and they call it praise, but it's contemporary. I just thank the Lord that you can feel his presence there. It's on Saturday and Sunday night at 7:30. And if you'll email us, we'll give you the time, the place, and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you will be blessed, and you will know that Jesus Christ is in that service. And I just thank the Lord again for this opportunity to take time for Jesus. He means so much to me, I couldn't begin to tell it. It's wake up in the morning and I sing, and I wake up in the middle of the night and I sing. Bible said to have a song on your heart and a praise on your lips. And I just thank God that he has done that for me. I love the Lord with all my heart. And I love you people out there that are following Jesus Christ. And someday, my desire is to see you. And if you're a sinner, and you've heard this broadcast, and you've turned your life over to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying to raise your hand, repeat a sinner's prayer, because I don't believe it. It's that easy to do. Jesus said, repent. Repent that your sins may be blotted out. He also said, repent or you shall likewise perish. And I just thank the Lord one day that I did repent, and I just praise God for being a child of the King. Here's Brother Earl.
Yes, praise God. It's good to know whom you serve and to know that he is alive and alive forevermore. Know that he died for us, but yet he lived that we could live. He died one time, but he won't die for you again, my friend. So if we neglect this so greater plan of salvation that only come through Jesus Christ, God himself put on the robe of flesh, was born just as you and I was, and come into this world to taste sin for you and I. He was sinless, but he come and took our sins upon him, nailing them to the cross. He didn't become sin, as some people said, but he took our sins upon him and nailed them to the cross, and he left them there, and through his sacrifice that he made through the shedding of his blood and washed our sins away, though they would be black as soot, so they say, red like crimson, but he washed us and made us whiter than snow. So it's up to you and I. It's you and I to choose today whom we shall serve. We can go ahead in our life and live whatever we feel like that we want to do in the flesh and reap the whirlwind of destruction, or we can live the life that God has set before us, and it's not grievous. It's not a hard way of life. Actually, it's relaxing. I can rest in assurance that God is helping me throughout all of my problems, and I can rest in him, and I know that he is with me. And by these, that I want you to enjoy that too. If you don't know him, I'm sure that some of you listen to us that knows him as much so as we do, and I pray God your blessings upon you. And I pray that them that don't know him as their personal Savior would come to know him before it's eternally too late. As I've said before, my friends, the time that we're living in is perilous times. It's about time we made a decision to where we're going to spend eternity. We need to check up and see what's going on in our life that we need to make it right, or let God make it right. You can't save yourself no more than I can. I couldn't save myself. It taken God to come into flesh and die for yours and my sins, that whereby that his sacrifice will cleanse us from all unrighteousness, but him only. There's no other God that can do it, no other name given among men whereby that we can be saved, but at the name of Jesus. So don't look for another. He come once and he's coming again. He's going to come to take his bride out in the clouds of glory. Then he's going to come back with his church, or his bride rather, his saints, and he's going to put his foot on Mount Olive, and it's going to split away, and it's going to bring forth, and he's going to make everything straight then. He's going to do away with the devil, and all of them that follows after the devil is going to be all cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. So, my friends, it's about time we had a good checkup in the spirit to let us know that whether or not that we're serving the Lord or that we're just playing church. It's time to realize that the judgment is going to start at the house of God. Now, my friend, that judgment is going to be at the house of God. Then where else do you think his judgment's going to fall on them that, as my wife said, neglect so great of a salvation, or she said procrastinated until it's too late? Them that when Noah was building the ark, no doubt that they figured that, you know, maybe we will, but they kept maybe until one day when God told Noah to come into the ark, everything, the provisions was ready and everything was to be, and God told Noah to come into the ark, and when he went in, there were still 7 days of grace, 7 more days, plus 120 that the people had to get their heart right. But they failed to do so. God shut the door. But when the lightning flashed and the thunder began to roar and the rain began to fall, my friend, that they began to hunt higher ground and calling upon the Lord. They was looking for salvation, but it was too late. The door of opportunity is not going to remain open. God's not going to tolerate the sins and an iniquity of this world forever. And one day it's going to be like it's going to be a stink in his nostrils as Sodom and Gomorrah was in the sins of the world in Noah's time. And he's going to put an end to it. So where are you going to stand? Have you checked up on your life lately to see whether you just play in church or you really been born again? We would look into the scriptures and we would find there, if we needed, there, you go to the doctor regularly, I'm sure, for a good checkup, and which is nothing wrong with that. I do that myself, but I often check myself to see whether, I'm in place with God or not, because I don't claim to be perfect. I don't look for no man to be perfect here in this world, but we got to come to the place that we be obedient to the in the service of God in order to be that he would be pleased with us and bring us into his kingdom. But have you had a checkup regularly? You check it. A checkup are important in spite of all advanced in the medicine. Your body will eventually fail you. Your spirit, however, will live on. Have you had a spiritual checkup lately? There is a 5-point checkup that we need to take only a minute and could change your life. Number one, check your eyes. Are you looking for God? Do you ever take time to see God in his creation and look about the birds in the sky flying around and the things that God put on this earth to beautify it? For you to look at and see the beauty of God in his creation? Have you ever looked at it in like that, or do you just look at it and just think nothing of it? My friend, I look a lot of times and I see the things that God created in there, and it's a beauty to behold what God has made. So you got to know that he cares for that, and he likes beautiful things too. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. So he loves beauty, but yet and still he come, and he was a comely man. He was no beauty to behold. But when they seen him, they didn't know him because he was not something very special. But he didn't come with a ring around his head like a crown. He didn't come there to people at that time to be noticeable. He came as a young man, as a baby born of a young maiden, and therefore he grew up just like you and I did, and he began to tell the people about his heavenly father, and they persecuted him. Now friends, they're going to persecute you if you stand for the righteousness of God, so you can look for it. But the time is coming near to when God's going to put an end to all of that persecution. Are you looking for him to come? Or you just think that this is something other that is just somebody said and to get you to do good? My friend, it's not something other that I'm desiring to have you to believe that it's not going to be, but just telling you something that will make you behave yourself. That's not my goal. I'm to telling you that this Lord and Savior that I'm telling you about, he said in Luke 10:23, he said, And he, Jesus, turned unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which have seen the things that ye have seen. The apostles seen God in the flesh. They looked upon him. Philip asked him one time, said, Lord, show us the Father, and sufficeth us. He said, Philip, I've been so long with you, and you have not known me. For when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Thomas didn't want to believe that he had rose from the dead. He said, I won't believe unless I put my hand, palms of his hand, and put my fingers in the nail print. And Jesus appeared unto him behind the doors there, where there was a fear, afraid of the Jewish community. They was behind locked doors, and Jesus appeared unto him and said, Thomas, behold my hands and my feet. Put hither thine hand in my side, and faint not. And Thomas fell on the floor and said, my Lord and my God. My friend, what evidence do you need? Do you need to be struck by lightning to believe the word of God? If you do, God could arrange that, but that's not what he wants to do. He wants you to believe because you have heard. Hearing is believing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It don't come by getting struck by lightning. That'll smart you. But now, God wants you to hear his word, believe the report that's been given to him as it was made, that Isaiah said in 53, who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord been revealed? He also goes again and makes mention about it in John. He also wants us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to believe in our heart. Just saying, I believe, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, my friend, and you live the same old road you've been walking on day in, day out, and you're not repented. You got to believe, you got to trust in him, you got to repent. Be in godly sorrow for your sins. Turn about. Don't walk in that same old rut that you've been walking in, but you turn about. Make a about face and walk away from sin and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and all the things that you was doing. It's not hard if you got Jesus to help you, and he said he would help us. He said he promised us a helper. Now you got to look for him. And if you look into the places there, and we see Corinthians 14 and 18, he said, while we look not after the things which are seen, but after the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporarily, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We can look at one another as we live. You look at yourself in the mirror and you see yourself, and you walk down the hallway or into another room of your house, and you almost forget what you look like. But my friend, if you look after the flesh, you're going to perish. But if we look into the spiritual things of God and look into eternal life through Christ Jesus, and we begin to notice that he himself can give us eternal life, then we begin to look to him. Look for him to give us that we have need of. Have you checked upon your diet lately? Are you eating the right food? John 5:6 and 51 goes on to say that I am the living bread which came down from heaven and live for, that you can will eat and live forever. The bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. He gave his life that you and I could have life. Well, the people in that day said, who can hear this? Eat of his flesh? Drink of his blood? How can this be? But he was speaking about the spiritual things, not his flesh literally, but after him as you partake of him in there, believing and trusting in him, knowing that he is God. The children of Israel eat the manna in the wilderness, and they survived, but they all died. But he said, if you eat of this bread, in other words, believing and trusting in him, and reading his word and absorbing him into your mind, in the very essence of your soul, and you can live forever. But without that, you'll be like the children of Israel in the wilderness when they eat the manna that God provided for them in the wilderness, and they died. But my friend, you can eat this bread of life, which is life in Christ Jesus, and he can give you life eternally. Plain enough to me, I ain't no science, rocket science or nothing. I'm not the smartest man in the world, but I know that God has gave his life that we could have life, and that makes me a little smarter than some that don't believe in him, I suppose. But nevertheless, we need to trust in the Lord. Leaning on the arm of flesh, as so many people does for to sustain their lives here and everything, we can draw from one another. We can help one another to make life a little easier for one another, and that's all good and well. But my friend, when you go and stand by the side of the grave when a loved one has to be buried, that's as far as you can go. But Jesus, if Jesus is in their life, he goes beyond the grave and carries them on into eternity, as he told the thief on the cross when he asked him to remember him when he came into paradise. When he come into his kingdom, he said, "Today wilt thou be with me in paradise." The thief died and the Lord Jesus died, and he gave his life that you and I can have eternal life. He's alive, and he's alive forevermore. You and I will die one day in the natural, but friends, it would be detrimental to us to die spiritually also and be cast into the domains of outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I just want to encourage you to read your word, to read the Bible, believe what it says, not what I say, but what the word says. A preacher can steer you wrong. There's many of them is told wrong. The Bible says that there'd be false prophets that would come and they would lead many astray. My friend, I don't want to be in no false prophet. I want to tell you what the word of God says. I want to make heaven my home, and I want you to be there too. If you don't know God, you need to know him. You need to check up and find out. And where the things that we need to have is to see ourselves as we are. This old body one day is going to lay down and it ain't going to rise up. But if we die in Christ Jesus, die in righteousness, as a tree falls, so shall it lie. If it falls, and the Bible speaks as us being as trees and as grass and there in the flowers. But we got to realize if we fall in righteousness, we'll rise in righteousness. If we fall in corruption, we're going to lie in corruption. My friend, it's plain and simple of that. You cannot ask God to forgive you of your sins and give you eternal life if the body is dead, the soul is gone, and there's no repentance there. The grave, the dead can't repent. But then while you're alive, it needs to be satisfied. The account needs to be settled now while that you're alive. And therefore, checking your diet, and Jesus said 16 and 51, he said, "I am the living bread which a man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Think about it. You can't eat him, really, eat his flesh in the natural, but you can absorb him spiritually by reading his word. His word is the bread of life, and you can eat the word, believe in it, and you can have life. Otherwise, you'll die in your sins if you don't believe what he said and what he came to do. And if you checked your hearing, can you hear God? Revelations 3 and 20 said, "If any man heareth my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will eat with him, and he with me." Have you listened lately? What would you do if Jesus came to your house? You know, there's a song that goes on. What would you do? Would you try to make all the arrangements to make him happy? Or would you greet him at the door and tell him you don't really need him to come into your life because it's so corrupt and full of sin that you couldn't have him into your home? Or would you greet him with a smile and be glad he's there and do everything you could to make him welcome and everything? And when he's gone, you would say, "I'm sure glad he's gone." My friend, if you invite him into your life, he's standing there at the door knocking. And I'm sure many of you have seen the picture that's portrayed of him knocking on the door and him standing there. There's no doorknob on the outside of that door. The door is to your heart. It has to be open with your whole soul, mind, and body. Open willingly and invite him in. He's not going to come into your life if you don't want him. But he will make you, in the finalities of it, you will wish you had accepted him, and then it will be too late. So while he's knocking on your heart's door, open the heart. Let him come in and be glad to surrender your life to him. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and your iniquities and whatsoever that you feel that you have done that's so wrong in your life. Or you may feel like, "Well, I'm a good person. And I don't go out and do all these things that some people do. And maybe you are a good person, morally. But my friend, we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And therefore, we need to repent. We need a Savior. We need someone to come and that died for us and need salvation. And it can only come through Jesus Christ. He goes to, he went to Calvary for you and I. He took yours in my place on Calvary's cross to die for our sins, to where he can forgive us of our sins, and his blood cleansed us from all of our unrighteousness. And it is plain and simple. You was born in sin as I was, shaped in iniquity as I was, and we needed a Savior. God supplied it through his only begotten Son. God in the flesh came and died for you and I, as he did for all that would receive him and believe and trust in him and call upon him. So it's the thing over there. You got to open up and let him come in. He's not going to come barging in your home uninvited. No more so than maybe you would if I had an ice cream party going on in my house and you lived next door and I didn't invite you. Would you come barging in my house uninvited into my ice cream party? I don't think so. I believe you'd have more respect than that. But nevertheless, some people have tried that. But there's one thing about it, my friend. You'll never be able to barge in God's kingdom. Whether you've been invited, but if you don't accept the invitation and repent, you ain't going to barge into God's kingdom on your own ego and think, well, I'll go in there anyway because it ain't going to happen. You just absolutely can't do it. He that climbeth up another way is the same as a thief and a robber. And you know that thieves and robbers come to your home to steal and to kill. They'll do whatever that they have to do to get what you've got if they want it. And so that's why I say we need to repent, because you never know when the devil's going to put it in some devious mind out there to do some kind of ungodly thing and break in your house and take what you got and what you've earned, worked hard to earn and bought and legally and everything, and it's yours by possession and because you bought it and worked for it. And them people out there, they don't care. They'll come and steal it. As the devil puts it into their mind to do so, they will do if they are servant of the god of this world, and that is the devil. My friend, it's time we taken a good check upon ourselves. But as I said, Revelation 3:20, behold, he stands at the door knocking. It's up to you to let him in. If you open the door and invite him in, he'll be glad to come in with you, eat with you, everything. He'll go with you all the way. So check your walk. Are you walking with God? Romans 8:1, he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So if you've been born again, you begin to walk after the Spirit. If you haven't been born again, you're going to walk and fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh could be many things that you don't think that is wrong, but if you put them first before God, and seeking after to do all of the things of fulfillment of the pleasures of and neglect to repent and come to God, my friends, you're going to lose out. It's not going to work that way. There's many people that travel thousands of miles to go to a ball game and want him to go around the corner to the church and pray. They're going to have to stand and give an account of that one day when the opportunity is closed to them. Ball game ain't going to help them. Or none of these other things that wherein people get involved into. I'm glad today that I swapped all of that off for a walk with Jesus. And I'm glad today that I can honestly say that I walk with him and he with me. And I just praise him today and thank him for his goodness and his mercy that he showed unto me all the days of my life. And I ain't no young chicken. Can figure it up. 1930. From time to time, it's been rough, but that's beside the point. God has still watched over me and kept me and blessed me and helped me along from time to time. Even in my unwitted ways, he still helped me. He didn't let me perish while I was in sin, but I'm glad today he come and knocked on my door, and I invited him in. I'm just so glad of it today. All right, we check your heart. Is your heart pure? Psalms 51 and 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. How is it? You have a spirit of adultery, or spirit of hating your neighbor, or wanting to beat his dog, or throw rocks at his cat, or all them kind of things? Or if God put a new heart into you where you, if your neighbor's cat is bothering you in some way, go to your neighbor and talk to him and ask him if he could do something about it. And don't be hollering over the fence and cussing him out and everything like that. Cats are one thing. They put the dog on a leash, but they let cats run free. And I'm not no cat lover, but I ain't going to throw rocks at my neighbor's cat. I might sick him and you know, run him out of my yard, but I don't want to hurt him. Because if I do that, then I have hard feelings. It causes hard feelings with my neighbor, and I don't want that. I want to help my neighbor if I can. So we need to create in us a clean heart, O God, and a renew a right spirit in me. That we need to have the right spirit in us, and then we won't get involved in all these uncanted ways that we get involved into when we don't be led by the Spirit of God. He'll lead you in the path of righteousness. The devil will lead you down a dark, dungeon road, and rough and rugged, and lead you down there and drag you right into hell and beat you in the face with the soot and then laugh at you when you get there. He knows that his time is short. He knows that what his life is going to be after God throws him in the pit. He knows that, but he wants company, but he ain't going to be able to enjoy him. Some people wants to think that life is full of roses and you're going to wind up and you're going to go here because you said, raised your hand and said, Lord Jesus, come into my life and you're free to do what you please and you're eternally secure. My friend, don't believe that lie the devil come up with and got people telling you about. You got to stay in the presence of God. You got to keep praying. You got to walk with him daily. It's not today and now, it's forever. Daily. It's a daily thing. We've got to worship him daily. It's one day at a time, my friend. We can't get there tomorrow when today is still here. Tomorrow's future. Yesterday's gone. Today is the day of salvation. The things that we see now, and they are temporarily, but the things that is eternal is in Christ Jesus. Have you checked up? If you want a spiritual, healthy, good, and a medical advance into you, God provide when you sent his only son, Jesus, to earth to save us when we were doomed because of our choices of ignorance. God in Romans 6 and 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. So where do you stand? You want eternal life through Jesus Christ. If you want to die in your sin, just keep walking in them, and that's what it'll be. So I encourage you to read your word, to get your heart right with the Lord and let him come into your life that you can have life and have it more abundantly. The abundant life only comes through Jesus Christ, not in the Cadillacs and all the big fine homes and things that people have in the natural sense that they think that they're living an abundant life. As the scripture said, them things is temporal. Eternal life is through Christ Jesus. That's the spiritual look at it. Jesus paid the price for our sins. He opened the door to heaven so that all who believed him will live eternally as children of God. He gives his life so we can be back into the fellowship with our Father. Here is what Jesus had to say for himself. John 10 and 28. And I, Jesus, give unto them eternal life that they may that they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. If you know, it's just utterly impossible for the devil. If you stay in tune with God, praying and seeking him, The devil can't take you out of his hand. He can't kill you. God has to give him permission to do anything, really, if you want to know the truth about it. If you go back to Job and read the book of Job, and we'll find there that when the children of God came up before God, the sons of God came up to him, and the devil came also. And so God asked him, he said, "Whence cometh thou?" And he said, "Walking to and fro in the earth." He said, "Have you considered my servant Job? Is not he perfect and upright in every way?" "Yeah, but did Job serve you because of whatever?" But you got a hedge around him. Take the hedge around him and take his profit away from him, and he'll curse you to your face. The devil was allowed to take all of his wealth, taking his children, everything that he had, and put him on a pile of ashes, scraping himself with broken pottery. And his wife said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" That's what the devil did to his wife, to influence him there. And he said, "Even though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Honey, God has not done you and her eye no harm, but he done everything for us to save our soul. So there's no sense of us using them bywords that oftentimes people use and to slander him and not believe in him and trust in him. He's never done you no harm. All the harm that has come to you has came because the devil has permission from God to do so, and that's the only way that he can do anything to you, bring cancer into your life, because you won't listen to God, so he allows you in the chastisement as you, well, not too many people chastise their sins and everything. They do wrong, they just, they're afraid to do anything to them anymore. I know my mom used to whip me real good when I done something wrong, and it taught me something, and I'm glad today for it. I appreciate it, and I thank God for it. So let me encourage you, read your Bible and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give him your life and let him lead you into the path of righteousness, as it would be in 1 John 5:11. And this is the record that God has gave to us, eternal life, and his life is in his Son. Eternal life only comes through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if you can't accept what the Word of God says, my friend, you will die in your sins. You're the one that's going to reap the whirlwind if you don't listen to the Word of God, don't pray, and don't seek after the kingdom of God. You're seeking after all of the things of this world and all of the joy, and you think the pleasures of this life will bring to you, and in the end wind up, it's all gone, even to your soul be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. If that's where you want to spend eternal life, God will allow you to do it, but it's not his desire. It's not his desire that you should perish. But if that's what you want to do, he's not going to go against your will. But it's his repentance. So it's up to you and I, my friend. So we need to let God come into our life that we can have that abundant life. And it only comes through Jesus Christ. Our time is just about gone, but let us encourage you there. If you want to write to us, my wife gave you the post office box number and everything. Write to us. It encourages us. As we try to encourage you by the word, by preaching this word, this gospel of Jesus Christ, we would like to have some information from you that is to where you have received it, and encourage us by these things. We're not in it to sell you anything. All I have to give you is what God give me. A lot of these preachers out there, I've got books that you can get. It's not on the shelf. You can't buy it at the store, and it's free and all this here kind of stuff. But you send me $100 love gift and I'll send you the book. It's free. I don't see where that's free at. If you send him $100, it costs you $100. Now, why do people want to fool with people in that sense of a way? My friend, I've not wrote no books. Jesus never wrote no book, but the books is full of him. He came in the volume of the book, from lid to lid in the Bible. But he never wrote none. He never traveled much more than 100 miles from where he was born. and he never done all these things that people try to do today, but he was a great man. God in the flesh. He came, opened the blind eyes, healed the lame, and healed the sick, and all these raised the dead, and all these things. So wouldn't you rather follow after him than that some man that wrote some book about something that he had done? He ain't done nothing without God. But a lot of people thinks that they're doing it all by themselves, and it's all through God, because without him, we can do nothing. We pray that God will richly bless you, my friend. Pray for our boys and girls that are in these wars, our policemen and all them that are standing there ready to help us in crisis. Pray for this country, that God will open that man's mind up over there and he may get to the things right for us all and the benefit. May God richly bless you and keep you until next time to take time for Jesus. But let me encourage you, read your Bible. Find you a Bible-believing church and a preacher that will preach the Word of God and go with him. And let God be in your life forevermore. So we just pray that God will bless you and keep you. Amen and amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first